Hi, I'm Jason Steiner. I'm the organist and worship leader today that rotates every week if you are visiting. The scripture today is from the book of John. It's the resurrection story, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her,
"Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?"
Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away."
"Mary."
She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her,
"Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the parent. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my parent and your parent, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
These are the sacred stories.
Thanks be to God.
Beautiful, thank you. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Mary comes to the tomb while it's still dark. And in John's gospel, she's alone. She does not carry spices. In John's gospel, Jesus's body has already been anointed. We don't know why she comes. Perhaps she's drawn, like many of us, to the place that will help her feel connected to the one who has died, to the place that will help us remember. She comes to the tomb while it's dark, and she's alone, and she's expecting death. She has not imagined Easter. When she sees the stone rolled away, she assumes someone has taken Jesus's body, and she runs to get the disciples. But only two come back, and they don't stay. They see the empty grave clothes, and they leave, and Mary is alone again. The scriptures say, then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet, and they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And when she said this, she turned and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Mary tries to gather community. She manages to get two disciples to join her, but they won't stay. They leave her weeping. "Woman, why are you weeping?" The angels don't tell her to stop weeping. They don't say everything happens for a reason. They don't suggest that this is all part of God's will or some divine plan. Why are you weeping? And she tells them, they've taken him away and I don't know where he is. She feels abandoned. She thinks she's alone. But then she turns and she sees a stranger, the gardener, she thinks. And he asks the same question, why are you weeping? And she explains, and he says her name, Mary. And with her name, she knows him to be Jesus. But Jesus doesn't ask her to stop weeping. No one in the Easter story tells her to stop weeping. And there's no suggestion that she stops. She hears her name and she knows the stranger to be Jesus. And he says, do not hold on to me. Do not hold on to me. Do not hold on to my body. It's leaving. You won't have it. Hold on to my spirit. Here it is, breathed on you and everyone else who knew me. And through you, I will be known to those who've never met me. Peace be with you. Peace, not joy, not happiness. This is not the trumpet blast, not the shout of hallelujah. The first Easter story is of pain and grief and fear and weeping. There is resurrection, yes, but Jesus makes it clear he cannot stay. Easter requires letting go. New life and growth mean that we must unclasp our fists. We have to leave the tomb to let go. In the Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman, Bod, short for Nobody Owens, is raised by the people of the graveyard after the death of his family when he's just a baby. He has many great adventures living among the dead, but eventually he must leave the graveyard. As it becomes clear that his leaving is imminent, he asks his guardian, "Can't I stay here in the graveyard?" And Silas, his guardian, responds, "You must not. All the people here have lived their lives, Bod, even if they were short ones. Now it's your turn. You need to live. You're alive, Bod. That means you have infinite potential. You can do anything, make anything, dream anything. If you can change the world will change. Potential." After several goodbyes, Gaiman writes, he took a step forward through the gate that took him out of the graveyard. The midsummer sky was already beginning to lighten in the east, and that was the way that Bod began to walk down the hill toward the living people and the city and the dawn. There was a passport in his bag, money in his pocket. There was a smile dancing on his lips, although it was a weary smile, for the world is a bigger place than a little graveyard on a hill. And there would be dangers in it, and mysteries, new friends to make, old friends to rediscover, mistakes to be made and many paths to walk before he would finally return to the graveyard. But between now and then, there was life. And Bod walked into it with his eyes and his heart wide open. Life and a wide open heart, potential. Leaving the graveyard requires us to let go of the familiar, to face the world big as it is, to live. This is the task of Easter. To live. We've lingered at the tomb, and the realities of death have been our companion. It's important to visit the cemetery. There's work and grief and self-knowledge to be found there. It's an important place to visit. And we cannot allow ourselves to live there, to be stuck holding on to what once was, weeping over the lifeless bodies of disappointment and despair, trapped in a self-made tomb of worry, dying by the inch. My friends, Easter comes into the boneyard with shouts of hallelujah. Death is not the end. We die a thousand kinds of deaths along our journeys, and no, those deaths are not the end of the story. We also live a thousand rebirths, a thousand resurrections, a thousand chances to face injustice, oppression, abuse, suffering, violence, and hate without giving them the only say, without letting them trap us afraid and unmoving. Easter comes again and again to remind us that Jesus is with us, among us, that he has transferred his passion for the realm of God to each one of us. Jesus has passed the baton. We have work to do. Too much work to stay in the boneyard, and certainly too much work to even attempt to begin it on our own. The resurrected Jesus tells the disciples and us, I will not leave you comfortless. I will leave you. My body will leave. Every body changes and leaves. We stay for a time and then our bodies are gone. I will not leave you comfortless. This comfort that Jesus leaves in pain and loss and grief, this comfort does not take the pain away. It does not ask us to dry our tears. This comfort comes into our pain and sits with us, and then invites us to leave the boneyard, to be transformed, and to live. It invites us to release what needs to be released. It invites us to know that we are not alone. Easter comes again and again. It comes in every place. It is here in every smile and every new baby. Easter is here. In every life transformed, and every second, third, fourth, hundredth chance. Easter is here, and we can count on it coming again, flowering in us once more the truths that we are not alone, that love never dies, that there is reason to hope, inviting us to go where we need to go, to grasp hope, to live life, to embrace potential. Easter is here. Hallelujah. Amen.